Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Scott.
And welcome back to our show.
Yeah, whatever.
You seem Kurt this week.
No, I'm still Scott.
Oh, great.
But I was Kurt earlier, and I was Gwendolyn, and I was Oliver for about 20 minutes.
A video game that you were voicing?
No, this is just the video game that is my mind, my brain.
Great.
I'm so many people. No, I'm not Kurt. You know what I decided to do because comedy is contrast. It's about contrast. It's about setting up an expectation and then shattering it. That's an important thing about
you. It's about timing.
Yes, the most important thing about comedy. Oops, you didn't do it. Okay, anyway. And because I was effervescent and bubbly in our pre-show, I decided to be very curt and just speaking staccato-like when we opened the show. Daniel, staccato. How are you, sweetie?
Staccato. That sounds like an Italian pasta. Staccato.
I would like the pasta staccato with a side of Curt.
I cannot have pasta, but that is another story altogether.
That's another story.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to do with the lag. Anyway, I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
What? Oh, you can't have pasta because of keto. Yeah, I was thinking, oh my God, are you gluten? You're gluten intolerant? And now this
I'm
is
one of those
up.
People. It's just like, oh, cut out.
You've got the celiac disease. Oh, help me. Yeah. It's the celiacs. Yeah. There it is. I knew it would come to me. God help me. You asked me how I am. I'm excellent. And the reason I'm excellent, my sweet friend, is because my husband is on vacation for my birthday week, my birthday being this coming Friday, May the 7th.
No.
May the 7th. Yes, no. You didn't know.
Is
yes.
your birthday really May the 7th?
Could you shit in your trousers and call
Could
yourself
I
Tina?
Shit in my trousers? No, I knew that it was your birthday coming up.
Yeah, the May the 7th is my birthday. And so my husband, my precious husband, yes. Oh, it's so sickeningly sweet, but shut the fuck up. My precious husband is downstairs as we are recording, painting. Because he's an artist and he's painting and he's having a wonderful vacation and he's taken the week off in celebration of my birthday and all kinds of wonderful things are going to happen, including, if I may take a moment,
yes,
my precious Digger and T-Wiggles, Tom and Terry, are coming for my birthday on Friday to celebrate my 65th birthday,
What time are they arriving?
Late afternoon, I believe. Oh. Late afternoon on my birthday.
We might have toyed with the idea of doing some special birthday things for you on the Mix Minus, but you know, if you're going to have company, you probably won't be there to listen, so...
We'll see what we can work out. The Digger and T would want to listen also to the mixed minus.
Probably not. No,
in point of fact, it's my birthday, so I get to choose what
we
do.
I get to
say, no, this is what I'd like to do, boys. Sit, be quiet, listen to Daniel and Adam as they celebrate Scott.
I thought what would be fun.
Yes.
Is do you remember during the Pride 48, one of the Pride 48 cocktail parties where we did like a quiz show? No, it was the last live streaming event where we did like a quiz show and people had buzzers to buzz in to answer questions. Dr. Weststone and I did this whole quiz show thing.
It doesn't matter if you weren't listening or not,
but the point is that I have the technology for...
To rebuild him?
No, for people to have a buzzer.
To make him better than he was?
Remotely.
Oh, a remote buzzer.
A remote buzzer, which makes a noise on my end. So what I thought would be fun for your birthday was to give you access
remote
to
buzzer.
That buzzer. So
oh.
that during Mix Minus, if we weren't talking enough about you, you could buzz the buzzer and we would hear it. And it would remind us to talk more about you. So I just, I thought, you know, that would be
very, very funny.
I thought that would be a very fitting birthday tribute for you to be able to remind people to talk about you.
Yes. It's very important.
It is very important.
Talk about me. And I do want to say, and I don't know why this is happening, but I will take care of it email wise.
Yes.
But I want to publicly on this show, and I hope that the sweet Moose P listens, mm-hmm. I want to thank him for both my very sweet birthday card, but also he sent me California dark chocolate brittle from Seas. And I didn't wait for my birthday, Moose. I've been rather munching on it. It's part of my diet plan.
Which is a 10-year plan.
To get as much sugar and fat into my body as I possibly can before I die.
To build up a tolerance.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Just like you, if you were allergic to peanuts, you would slowly to acclimate your body so that it doesn't affect you. I think it's a... What is that?
It's Peanuts.
Oh, okay. I was just like, why do I know this song?
Anyway, thank you, sweet Moose P.
Thank you, Moose P.
Yeah, thank you, Moose P.
He did not
for my dark chocolate brittle and my birthday card. And I
was on a podcast with Moose P. Yeah, he was a guest on the Archer Gangbang last week.
He has a fantastic voice.
He does.
It's very low and very sultry and very sexy. Yes. Mm-hmm.
He does.
Moose P.
We should get Moose P to do our exit for us.
Yeah, we need to.
Because our original concept was, we just have Zach and Drew redo them every so often and add some new jokes in. And it's like, they haven't haven't re-recorded anything for us for months. Yeah.
So, Daniel, what have you been up to?
I have.
Yes.
There's the light over at the Frankenstein. No, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know if you've seen it. A light at the end of the COVID tunnel.
Oh, and what is that light at the end?
You know, where the things can slowly start getting a little bit better. Yes. So I went
especially in Florida where COVID never existed.
Yeah, it doesn't exist here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't actually have COVID. I got to go on my first camping trip in over a year this past weekend. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I have a huge red mark on my left leg from where a horsefly bit me, but it was worth it.
A horsefly bit you.
A horsefly bit me. Left a big, big old nasty, red area.
What was his name?
I didn't catch it, but it was a great weekend. I had fun at the campground. I set up my tent. I slept under the stars. I mistakenly didn't take a blanket with me because I'm like, it's Florida. It's 80 degrees and overnight it's not. And failing to realize that about 4 a.m. when it drops quite a bit, that I need a blankie. It was very cold in my tent on Saturday morning when I awoke.
I understand, Eve.
Mm-hmm. So I had to get a blanket for Saturday night. So that I would not be cold on Sunday morning. Anyway, I had a great time at the Sawmill Campground. I was there also to test out the Google Fi data connections and whatnot. Because, in my mind, I'm thinking we eventually would like to buy a camper. And as long as we can have reliable internet in places that we'd like to go.
Do you know that referring to it as a camper is very 1950s.
Well, it's a way to denote the difference between a towable camper and an RV. We do not want anything that has an engine. It will be towed behind.
And this could be methane.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that even that is called a recreational vehicle.
Possibly. I believe that they all possibly fall under the category of RV. Yes. But at least when I've been shopping for them on the camper websites like General and...
The websites that are run by 70-year-old people, much like myself. Yes.
They break them down into...
camping in our toaster.
They have campers, they have RVs, and they have fifth wheels. For some reason, they break them down into those categories.
They don't fall under the same umbrella.
Okay, well, anyway, what was... Oh, so I was delighted with the performance of Google Fi during the... Because I was thinking, as long as we have reliable internet, then we could camp more often because we could work from the camper. So that was also good that was working.
So you brought all that stuff home? Did you bring anything else home from camping?
I did. I brought home...
Just happy memories.
I brought home a very... And it didn't hit me until Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I woke up and my throat was really hurting.
Oh.
Now, I don't want to... You're a person of a certain age.
Thank you.
And more importantly, a person of a certain... morals standing.
No morality about it. It's that, what I can or cannot deal with. It has nothing to do with morality.
I'm just saying, in the general area of gay sex.
Gay sex. There's nothing happier than gay sex. We're gay.
It's not uncommon.
Yes.
To have a sore throat sometimes. It is not uncommon for you to have a raw and scratchy throat the next morning, depending on what activities you might have participated in and how big things that went into your throat were. So you see what I'm saying? And so I didn't really think too much about it on Sunday morning because I have a sore throat. Well, that makes sense. And that's a shame. And so I bought some lozenges. Which is the normal way that you deal with that.
Yeah.
Bought some lozenges. And I went on about my life. But then Sunday afternoon after I got home, broke camp and came home. And when I got home, I was freezing.
Oh.
I was freezing. And there were not enough blankets in this house to keep me from freezing. I was shivering. I was freezing. I clearly had a fever. And I just felt like poo. And so Monday, I went down to the urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I felt much better Monday morning. But anyway, so I went down to the urgent care, and my throat was still sore. And they checked me out and everything. It turns out I have strep throat, so.
Wow. That must have been one huge one if it strepped your throat.
Is not uncommon because I still have my tonsils, so I am susceptible
to. I do
too. Yeah, if you have your tonsils, you are susceptible to strep throat.
I am relating to this story in more than one way. When and interestingly enough,
yes,
it involves camping in a tent.
Wow.
Yes, with my precious husband. Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you were deep throating Drew, and
well, that goes without saying. No, and this is many, 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 many years ago.
Well, because you're probably not that flexible anymore.
This was many, 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 many years ago, long before we had Vi mm-hmm. or RV Vi. We had a tent. Of course, it was a two-room tent because
never ever heard Scott's show before. Vi was the name of their RV.
Yes, and we named her Vi because she was a holiday rambler vacationer. Vi the vacationer. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
So we were in a tent, and we had a porta potty because I refused to do any of the anything of that nature. And we used one of the rooms of the tent as the porta potty room, and the other room of the tent was where we lived and had our beds, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Everything's elegant because I don't do anything that isn't elegant.
Right.
Oh, my air conditioning just came on. I'm wondering if I should shut it off.
You're fine. You're fine.
You can't hear that?
I have filters for that. We're good.
All right. You have filters for that. Mm. We're good. So I woke up in the middle of the night having to pee like a racehorse, but also being so freezing that I thought I literally cannot get out of bed because I am too fucking cold. It must be below zero outside, and it was summer, mm-hmm. and we're camping.
If I were to pee right now, it would be icicles.
It would, yes, there would be a long yellow icicle sounding out of my pee-pee hole. Mm-hmm. But I did. I got up and I peed and I was shivering and shaking and all night long. And I woke up and my head was pounding and I could not, as you said, I could not get warm no matter what. Well, what happened to me was because my husband did not know that he had shingles.
Oh.
Which is The result, if you have had chicken pox, you can get shingles, as yes. you no doubt with your medical background know these things. And shingles is a herpes infection, but not the sexual it's herpes.
Closely it's closely related to chicken pox.
Yes, it's zoster. It's herpes zoster. And they are so closely related that if you are exposed to someone and you have not had the chicken pox, mm-hmm. someone with herpes zoster or shingles, mm-hmm. you will be infected and you'll get chicken pox. And that's what happened. We did not know that Drew was having an outbreak of shingles because he had never had them before. He thought maybe he had rubbed against poison, and he was getting little bumps or something. And because I was deep throating him at the time, I had chicken pox, and it was hell. You don't want to get chicken pox as an adult because it's ugly. It's very ugly. But all of that to say, I so understand that feeling of I am so fucking cold. I'm going to die from the cold and shivering and shaking in your body's skin.
Well, there you go. Well, they gave me some antibiotics, and now I am, as of 3 p.m. this afternoon, I was no longer contagious. So
look at the magic of that. So you can go out whoring around again because you're not contagious.
I have no real desire to go whoring around right at the moment because throat's still a little bit sore.
So, yes, yeah. I know. And when your equipment isn't up to snuff, you don't want to take it out into the world.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
I was so pleased. This is an aside.
Okay.
I was.
Should I move or anything?
No, I was so pleased with myself because.
Oh.
It's been many years since you've had a tent. But when you
it's
have
still
a tent,
in the garage, if you want it,
when you have a tent, it comes in a, you buy the tent and it comes in this lovely zippered bag that is like,
yes.
Oh, it's so cute. It's a 6-person mm-hmm. tent, but look at how cute the little bag is.
Never get it back.
And there's
no
not a single fucking direction in that thing as to how you're supposed to fold the tent back up to get it back into the little bag. So
right.
It has been an ongoing problem of breaking down camp. On the last day of camping, when we were tent camping, of me trying to fold the tent before I roll it up in order to get it into the bag. And for this trip, it went in exceptionally easy. And I'm like, I have finally conquered the rolling the tent in the proper way. And I got it in there. Look at that. That's beautiful. Oh my God, the fly is sitting right over there. fly that goes over the tent
yes,
that is also supposed to be
in.
Rolled in was not.
I thought you were talking about your horse fly.
No, it's not. So So now I didn't unroll the tent. I left it. And so now the fly is just sitting outside of it. And I will set it up in my backyard in a weekend or two. And I think it needs to be washed.
I really don't want to know why it needs to be washed. I know.
No, it's been years since I've washed it. So.
Oh. Well, that's exciting. And I'm very, very, very glad that you are now well and healthy and you're feeling better.
I am. And this is not the only light at the end of the tunnel because tomorrow.
Yes.
May the 5th. Is
2 days before my birthday.
Well, it's also commonly known as Cinco de Mayo. But my company is having a after work cocktail party because some of our execs are in town. So we're having a after work cocktail party.
As in being physically next to one another?
Yes, at a bar.
Oh my goodness. So this really is. This is like your first post-COVID cocktail party.
Yes, it is. So I'm going to be going tomorrow. Now, granted, it's coworkers, so you have to,
That'll be fun.
You can't talk about deep throating and stuff around the coworker tape yet. So you have to, talk about other things. But no, it'll be fun, though. So I mean, it's at 6 o'clock, so I'm not going to, it's not like going out to a bar for the evening and getting,
yes.
Work the next day. But yeah. But it'll be nice to actually socialize.
Your first post COVID cocktail party.
And, you never really had, well, I guess you did at the beginning of your career. But for those of us who have had office lives for most of our professional career, it has been weird over this past year of, only seeing my coworkers on video and not seeing them in the hallways or, you know, walking over the cubicles and talking to them or, you know, sitting across a table from them and meeting and stuff. So this will be the first time that I've seen many of my coworkers in over a year. Because for some reason, people don't like to turn on their cameras. So it's like sometimes I can't see their face when they're talking.
Oh, that's bothersome to me too.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be on camera, you sure as fuck better be on camera also.
Yeah. I found that in meetings at work, there's kind of like a, what's that word that I'm looking for? Terminal velocity. What's the thing that the point where things tip? What's the, there's a word for
the tipping point.
The tipping point thing. That's genius. We should patent
that. Be, I know.
It's like also Adam Burns, great name for a podcast. Anyway, so
the
tipping point. Yeah. So, but there's a tipping point where if more than half the people have their cameras on, then the other half of the people will eventually turn their cameras on. But as soon as it drops below 50%, then people start turning their cameras off. So, yeah.
I see, yeah. Said the blind man.
Do you see?
I see.
Is it something that you see? I feel like I've just been dominating this entire conversation, and I'm sorry.
This one?
Yeah, this whole show, I've just been.
No, you haven't been dominating. You've been talking about your wonderful experience of your camping trip and of your first post COVID, and I don't even know what to talk about myself. Like I said, I'm very excited because we're on vacation and we're eating and drinking every single night, and so I'm, you know, I've got happy pants on. I'm wearing my happy pants. And we've been ordering out with abandon, not worried about how much Drew worked out the budget for my birthday so that we could have order out stuff.
Oh my God. Your birthday just has a budget.
Well, it's actually a budget for the vacation.
Oh.
Because normally we would be going away on a vacation or doing something on a vacation. And so because it's a staycation, he said we should spend as much money or close to it as we'd spend if we were going somewhere. So I know it. See, this is why you should dominate at this point, because I got nothing. I don't know. I don't live.
We were talking a little bit in the pre-show.
Yes,
about
we were.
My new patio, which was just installed today.
Yes, you got a new patio.
Yeah.
It's small, but it's functional.
It's 12 by 14.
Uh-huh.
Paver patio. But as I pointed out to you, it is an extension of our, we already have a screened-in patio. On the house with sliding glass doors to go out to it. So this is an extension of the screened-in patio so that I can put the grill somewhere other than just in the yard.
Yes.
And I'll maybe put a little pergola with a little swinging bench there. Anyway, all of those things, if you wanted to hear any of the stuff that we talk about before we record this show and talk about after we record
13.
This show, yeah, we have this cool behind-the-scenes club for the really...
Level 13.
For the fans, where we post our pre-shows and our post-shows, and we post some extra content every so often, a three-way show that we do with Adam Burns and Scott and myself, all of that stuff. And this is the kind of stuff that you would normally get on Patreon for, you know, $5 a month, $3 a month, all that kind of stuff. It's absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a dime. You have to do.
How do they join, Daniel?
You just send us an email and say, I want to join level 13. That's really all there is to
way.
It. Yeah.
That's it?
That's it. That's all there is to it. And we
and
will
there
sign
ain't
you up.
Nothing in the way. And there's a Discord chat, too,
that's
that
right.
comes along with that.
There's a Discord server that comes along with that you
server,
can chat. Yeah.
Chat mm-hmm. hole.
Mm-hmm.
I like
chat,
to call it a chat hole.
It's a chat hole. Mm-hmm. That's also Adam Burns, another good name for a podcast.
Chat hole. Yes.
I feel like we should take your stripper joke and rework it for podcast.
Podcast names,
chat,
yes.
Chat Hole was my podcast name in the 80s. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
The final thing that I have, we're ripping through this list here, Scott.
Well, there's stuff to the left of that as well.
Yeah,
you know,
there is.
Potential show topics.
I haven't checked. Did we get any email or voicemails? I haven't
I don't think checked. We have, but
see.
I could be wrong.
I'm going there now. I know we got one for the other show.
Well, that does a lot of good here, Daniel, that you got something for the other show. I'm sure that other podcasters got emails, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We never get emails.
Should we read their emails
on our
show?
No, it's not emails. These are voicemails. I got a voicemail from Scott the Seder and from Tim in Alaska.
For your other show.
Yeah, for my other show.
So apparently your other show is much more popular than our show.
Yeah, because people don't want to call us or talk to us.
I can understand it.
I mean, you know, That's what it is. It is what it is. We're just two old curmudgeons.
Well,
that was the name of my podcast in the 90s.
Yes, exactly.
Let's just go into this last little topic here that we have on our Trello for the moment, shall we?
Okay.
I was reading an article, as I am wont to do. And I'm sure you've seen these articles before on the internet. It's like, the five movies that you need to watch before they leave Netflix this month. Or yes. the best science fiction movies that you should see on Amazon right now. Those kind of things.
Yes.
And I was thinking to myself, I used to watch gay movies because there used to be a gay film festival that happened every year in Tampa. And, you know, these are not Waka Waka gay movies. These are gay movies, right? Like long
time. These aren't strep throat gay movies.
Right, yeah. Like long time companion. The one that I. Edge of 17, an amazing one. Edge of 17. Jamie and Dre's Something Beautiful Adventure, was it?
Wow.
Jamie and Steve's
Virgin. I don't know any of these.
And that's my point is that for someone who is so into movies.
Yes.
I was wondering, do you watch the gay movie? Do you have a secreted list of gay movies that I could say, oh, I've never heard of that. I would like to watch that. And if you don't, maybe people could email us some suggestions and then we could watch them.
Well, that's true. But I would like to say this about that. There, and forgive the knocking if you're hearing it, because my daughter is dreaming behind me and she's kicking the door. Mm-hmm. She's kicking the closet door as she's dreaming.
I am so trying to come out of the closet. Fuck you.
I've had it with this shit. I'm out of the closet. I'm a proud lesbian Weimaraner. Mm-hmm. See, I like that. I like the girl. I'm a bitch who likes bitches.
You know, the gay movies thing is a really complicated subject for me, and it also shows how prudish I am by nature because of the way I was raised, and yet I became a slut being so prudish. There was a lot of conflict, lots and lots of conflict in my mind and my life. Mm-hmm. I do have certain movies that I adore that have a very, very strong gay component, one of which is strictly, you would call it a gay movie, and that is the original Boys in the Band, which I cherish, even though it is horribly sad. And it is a time of our gay culture when we were so self-loathing, and it really shows it. It's a very sad movie, but a wonderful movie.
I believe we talked about the remake of it.
Yes. I enjoyed it very much. There's also a movie that's little known that I adore, called Something for Everyone, starring Angela Lansbury and Michael York, where Michael York basically plays a character that will do anything to get what he wants, including seducing the daughter, seducing the son, seducing the mother, just to get what he wants. And so there's a gay aspect to that film that I love. And there are others, I'm sure, that I can't think of right now that where the gay part, except for Boys in the Band, the exception, where the gay part is a strong part of the film, but it isn't what the film is revolving around. Something for Everyone is an example of that. Now, to the question of watching modern gay movies, even not the pow wow, which the pow wow wow one definitely have a wonderful place in our lives, but the regular ones, I get uncomfortable with straight or gay scenes where they are getting very, very physical, where there's all this deep kissing, where they're grabbing their clothes off, when they're getting into bed, when they're simulating sex. I get really uncomfortable. I don't get that way if I'm watching porn. That's a different story. Mm-hmm. Watching porn, you're watching porn for a reason and you want it to get jiggy as soon as it could get jiggy, mm-hmm. especially if you're old. But other films that have that strong sexual component, I have trouble watching them, and oftentimes we'll turn them off because I can't do this. And I wish I could come up with some examples, because there are some prime examples. And to the point,
Short Bus.
Many I have not seen Short Bus.
Short Bus literally starts with a masturbation scene. So
yes, and John Cameron Mitchell wanted to have real sex in that movie, which
they filmed a real orgy.
Yeah. So it's basically pornography, and he's trying to mask it into a story. No,
actually, the story's quite good. But
to the point of gay movies, they tend to be heavy in that arena. They tend to be heavy in the kissing, passion, getting jiggy, sexual.
I guess that.
For example, Queer as Folk. I could not do Queer as Folk.
Okay, well, Queer as Folk's not it. All right. A, Queer as Folk's not a movie. It was a British sitcom or a British series.
No, it was actually the American version that I was watching.
I know, but the British version, it was a direct ripoff of the British. Anyway, the point is that it was a British series slash American series.
I don't think that's the point, but go
ahead. No, but what I... Do not try me.
I'll try you any way I want baby.
I'm going to need you to step...
I got how many years
I'm
going
to need you to step all the way off my back. Here's the thing.
No, you've had enough on your back for the week. Is that what... basically?
Let me say this. Okay. That was the great thing about the Gay Film Festival is it was gay films that didn't really have that component to them. So it was films like Edge of 17, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, The Broken Hearts Club, I'm trying to think
there's
back.
There's another gay movie that I adore,
Priscilla. Broken Hearts Club, exactly.
Priscilla. I don't know from The Broken Hearts Club.
Chu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. I'm just trying to think back to all of these movies that I saw in a movie theater with a bunch of gay people that were not sexual films. They were just coming of age films or...
No pun intended.
Or just very heart touch, they were just great films where the main characters were gay. But along with that came a lot of films that were kind of, they were just kind of, bad acting and bad film and whatnot, because these are indie films. And I feel like we should have a curated list somewhere of good gay films that we could watch, that aren't heavy on the sex, that are just more, they happen to have gay people in them. Now I get that modern stuff on television has that in it. Like if you watch The Fosters, which is on ABC Family, they have a small, an 8-year-old that grows up that comes out as gay when he's 10, and how you deal with, this preteen coming out as gay and the hardships that he goes through at school and whatnot. He's in the foster care system, but it's a very well done story that fleshes out those kinds of stories that you otherwise never would have known. I have to cough. Thank you for that. But I'm just saying, I feel like, my throat is really rebelling right now. I feel like if you have a list of great gay movies that I could watch.
Would you like me to finish that?
Yeah.
If you have a suggestion of gay movies that we could watch and maybe talk about, we would love for you to send them to us in an email. But I would put this caveat that Daniel would not put. I don't think that Daniel would put. It has to be either Netflix or Prime, because that's the only form of film that is currently available to me. And also, maybe it could be a little sexy, but not the ones that are heavy on the sex and the stuff. Because, as I said, this isn't just a gay thing with me. I don't like watching a guy and a girl swallowing each other's face. Yeah. It makes me really uncomfortable.
I get it. One quick question I had, though. Did you ever watch Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
That's another one. Yeah. We cherish that movie. Absolutely cherish that movie.
I don't have your name dropping sound to play. I did, of course, sit in front row mezzanine to watch Neil Patrick Harris on Broadway in Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
And how was he?
He was amazing. I was going into it. I'd watched the movie 1,000 times, in my younger days, and I was going into this going like, this is going to be Neil Patrick Harris for 90 minutes on fucking stage. This is going to be insufferable. He did the role justice. He was quite good at it. It was a very, I loved it. It was great. One of my favorite things that I did not know from the movie, because the movie was made after the original off-Broadway run of Hedwig.
Yes. Yes.
And so in the revival of it, there is a story as to how they ended up in the Belasco Theater, which is where it was at, how they ended up in the Belasco Theater for this run of Hedwig's music night was that the theater had been rented out for months for the previous show, which opened and closed in the same night, which was Hurt Locker the Musical. And to further add to that storyline, there were fake playbills for Hurt Locker the Musical wow. that were on the floor of the theater.
Oh, that's so funny.
And the stage, all the stage where she was performing had like a Baghdad scene with an exploded car and stuff that was, it was left now, over from the,
would you, no, I thought, no, I was, what I was doing is I was driving off to the left and I don't want to go there. So I had to pull the car back over.
Okay, great.
Shit, what was I going to say about Hedwig though? I know. The field as it's an incredible movie to me. We love this movie. Adore it. Love the music from it. Love the performances. It's fantastic. I always feel, however, that it's a little off center, and I think that it's a little off center because of its origins in basically being a really campy kind of show.
Yes.
It was a super, the off-Broadway show was very campy, mm-hmm. and they needed to, and did it beautifully, they had to flesh it out for the film. They really yes. had to put in a lot more of wise answers to questions, whys, wherefores, and however's. And it shows in that film. Mm-hmm. It shows, when I watch that film, I adore it, but I'm always off center because it's as if they are trying to do two things at once, and it's very yes. difficult to do.
The play, the revival of the play, was a recreation of the first play with some updates for the time period, but as in Hurt Locker and the staging. But it is yes. Hedwig telling the story of her life in this musical concert that she's doing. The only two characters on stage that you interact with or that you have any lines from are Hedwig and her girlfriend that's in the band. Like yes. those are the only two pieces. She has her own song.
It sucks.
Show. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. And those are so in the entire play with Neil Patrick Harris, those are the only two people that ever talked. That means you don't go to another scene. It's all on stage. There's no second scene. You know, when she does her flashbacks, the lighting changes and she explains things and sings the songs. But it is a 90-minute story told through song, done expertly well. It was a great play.
Yes, I love it.
Well, there you go. All right. I think that does it.
Yeah, I think we squeezed a lot of lemon juice out of this lemon.
I have to go and take another antibiotic right now.
Oh, you better, because God forbid you have a relapse.
And don't I? Well, you know, you don't want to, you have to be responsible. Remember, kids, if you're assigned 10 days treatment of antibiotics, take the goddamn finish 10 them. Days of it. You're just breeding the super bugs at that point.
That's right. Yeah. You finish your goddamn antibiotics.
You will take your antibiotics and you will fucking like it. That's what I'm saying. You know what, Scott? It's such a pleasure talk to you every
it's
week.
It's mine.
Especially here on your birthday week. Especially here
Could you
on
shit?
Your birthday
Friday,
week.
Friday, May the 7th. Happy Friday. Birthday to fucking
so,
me.
If people wanted to send you Amazon gift cards or whatever, they could do so at our email address. That's fine.
Yeah.
The important thing there, it comes through me first so I can steal the code, but
see,
it's
you, want, yes.
you know, you can yeah. And if you wanted to there you go. How do we end this?
Like this. Good night, Daniel.
Good night, Scott.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email us contact@thatdarnelvis.com or send us a voicemail by going to voicemail.thatdarnelvis.com. You can always find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. On Twitter, Scott is @AntiVera, and Daniel is @DanielBrewer. This program may result in the following complications: perineal rash, confusion or hallucinations, diarrhea with fainting. Always check with your doctor before listening.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.